Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
My God's faithful to do exceedingly, abundantly, above, way more than I could ask or think, according to the power that works in me. See, there's a power that works in us, and it's the power of God's word. You know what I said earlier, where Paul said, I sowed, Apollos watered, God provides the increase. That's God's word. There's power in that word. God provides the increase. There's an expression, man, the good Lord gives, the good Lord takes away. Bull. He's taking what you're giving him that's harmful in your life, that's demonic in your life. Man, you give an addiction to God tonight, you give a care to God tonight, he'll take it from you. He will. He's not taking good things from you. Man, the Bible even says this, no good thing will God withhold from those who walk uprightly. The contemporary translation of walking uprightly is putting God first. Man, we just have to commit to put God first. Man, put God first in your thought life. Put God first in your relationships. Put God first with your time. And put God first with your money. Don't let the love of money come into your life. And let me tell you, worrying about money, there's only one reason you worry about money, because you love it. If you're not worried about it, nothing can stop the resource of heaven from coming in your life if you tithe. It's that simple. And this isn't a message about the tithe tonight, okay? This is a message about an open heaven above your life, and that's what the tithe gives you. The Bible says that God will open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing you're unable to receive because it's so great. And you think about that kind of life. And let me tell you, I know people sitting in this room that live that kind of life, and I'm one of them. A life of more than enough, provided by a God of more than enough. In a land he's given me to live of more than enough. Man, I've had people recently say, man, it feels like America, man, this election, it feels like America's just going to hell in a handbasket. I'm like, not where I live. No, man, this is a land of more than enough. You know why? My feet are here. The Bible says everywhere I put my feet, the sole of my feet tread, I own it. I take possession. Isn't that right, Mr. Moore? Man, I take possession. See, it's not just you walking around going, well, I guess my feet are powerful. No, it's the attitude that you walk in. See, your provision, your life, is all determined by your attitude. How many of you guys ever played junior high football? Let me tell you, that junior high football coach knew enough to tell you, attitude is everything. Now get back in that line and run another sprint. Attitude is everything. Man, when I became a Christian, I became a better athlete. I became a better man. I became a better everything. You know why? That guy across that other sideline can't beat me, because greater is he that who's in me than he who's in the world. And you'll say, well, God doesn't care who wins, who loses. I completely disagree with you. God cares about his kids, just like we care about our kids. Even God cares about us more than we care about our kids. And I don't know about you guys, but I'm competitive, and my kids are competitive. My wife's competitive. We care who wins. My kid's going to play. Man, they're going to win. If they don't win, let me tell you, man, you check their attitude. Man, that's the opportunity for incredible parenting. Man, to bring discipline into our life. It's like you can't throw a fit. Man, you start throwing a fit. When you lose, you're gonna end up quitting. And that's what losing, that's what the enemy wants you with, a mindset that you can't win. The enemy wants you with a mindset where you're thinking, well, there's no way I could overcome. There's no way I could make a difference. What if the second year of this capital campaign, you gave $100,000? And I know that I'm just throwing a number out. For some of you guys, oh yeah, I could do that. For others of you, think, man, I don't even make that much in a year. Well, maybe it's the way you think is the reason you don't make that much. The Bible says the way you think is the way, so a man thinks, so he is. See, all I care about is the world. I don't care about the expressions that's on your face right now. I don't care whether or not you're having a hard time digesting this. This is different than the way your grandmama's church taught you. I kind of hope it is. Man, the one thing Jesus hated was religion. The one thing religion does is suppress God's people into thinking they're not good enough, into thinking they just have to just get by. Let me tell you what God meant for a just get by attitude was a 2-week attitude. It's the time it should have took, less than 2 weeks, for the children of Israel to walk from Egypt to the promised land. And you know what that time is called? The wilderness. You know what the wilderness is? It's a place of poverty for God's children. 2 weeks. Man, you think about it. So now we live in the land of more than enough. Man, the land of more than enough, that's the land I live in. What did God promise us? He promised us the land. Man, after Adam fell and leased the earth to Lucifer, you know what happened? Man, God turned around and said, no, we're gonna flip it on him. Everywhere the sole of your foot treads, you possess that land. Take possession of it. Man, where is it? It's in our heart. Man, the way a man thinks, so he is. Man, you are where you are, who you are, what you are, because of how you've thought up to this point. Well, let's be people that think differently. Man, the Bible goes so far as to say, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, to be right with God. How many of you guys have Jesus in your heart? Can I see your hands? How many of you guys have the Holy Spirit in your life? Can I see your hands? That makes you like him. See, God didn't have a problem with Lucifer wanting to be like God. See, that's what Christian means, it's Christ-like. No, Lucifer wanted to be God. You reject Jesus in your life, you reject this in your life, you want to be the God of your life. You know, you'll say, well, Pastor, you said if I reject the tithe? Well, sure. See, the tithe is how God blesses us. The tithe is what gives us a 100% complete assurity in our life. Listen to the promise of the tithe. He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour to bless you. You can't receive it so great. Man, the blessings of God is gonna make a mess in your life, okay? He'll rebuke the devourer from the midst of you for his name's sake. See, that's what the devourer wants to do. He just doesn't want to eat around the fringes. No. He wants to get right in the middle of your heart, right in the middle of your life. The Bible says that our fruit won't fall immature from the vine. I don't think that's just investments. I think that's our children. I think that's our endeavors. You know, the Bible promises that everything we put our hand to will prosper. And you know that word prosper has nothing to do with money. It does, but it's not about money. Money factors in. It's about control. Man, everything you put your hand to, you'll have control of. It's not gonna have control of you. But you know what? There's been too many times in my Christian life where I've given control of my life to a situation or a circumstance or an attitude or a feeling or an emotion. No, not anymore. Man, I'll tell you, man, something may hit you and you're allowed to be down for like 2 or 3 seconds. You gotta get back up. Man, you get back up as quickly as you can. You think about the last time you fell into sin. You hear about people that fall into sin, and somebody will follow up. They say, "Man, I haven't seen you at church." Yeah, I gotta get some things straight. I gotta get my life right, and then I'll come back. It's like you can't. That's why we're here. We're here because it's virtually impossible to get your life right outside of here. And you'll say, "Well, no, you know, yes." Those who are planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. Those who are planted, transplanted in God's house. See, that's where you're sitting right now. Yeah, you know what? Naturally, you're in an old warehouse. Spiritually, man, you're sitting right in the middle of God's heart. Where Jesus said, "I will build God's heart on the earth. We'll call it his church. And the gates of Hades won't prevail against it." See, it's good to know what you're talking about. It's good that we're not tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. Have you guys heard that in the Word? We're not tossed. You get tossed by a wind of doctrine. It means you're tossed by a wind is something that hits your life, but you don't know where it came from. See, so something will hit your life, and it'll be like, "Where'd that come from? What is that? Oh, my gosh. Why do I feel that way? Why do I have that kind of attitude? And you don't know where it came from. Well, that's a wind of doctrine. Man, it's unknown. It's mysterious. See, God's not going to be mysterious. God is going to do what his word says he's going to do. The Bible says God even takes counsel in his word. See, and that's what he's given us. Turn your Bibles to Romans 15. I got one big fat verse for you tonight. Can you guys grasp one verse tonight? Can you? Let me see if you can. Huh? I'm even going to split it up for you. I'm going to dissect it for you. We're going to rightly divide the word of truth. Everybody say this. God, I thank you for your word alive in me. God, use your word tonight to cleanse my heart, to change my life, and give me direction. In Jesus' name, amen. Romans 15, 13. Tell me when you're there. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. You know, you listen to that, you think, well, that just sounds churchy to me. Man, what if this is life to you if you find it tonight? What if I told you that this one verse tonight changes everything? Now, let's break it down. Now, okay? Now. Where my heart immediately goes to is Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Now faith is, well, I'm considering it. That's not faith. Well, I'm thinking about it. That's not faith. Man, when I get up tomorrow, that's not faith. Faith is now. What's faith? Faith is now. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You think about that. Now listen, in regard, let's cross-reference it again to Romans 15, 13. Let's go back to that. Romans 15, 13. Now may the God of hope. Notice, he's not a God of judgment. He's not a God that's keeping track of your missteps. He's not a God that is thinking you're a screw-up. He's not that kind of God. He's the God of hope. He's always the God of hope. Man, what God's going to do is he's going to reveal himself in your life tonight, listen, as the God of hope. And what does Hebrews say about hope? Huh? This hope we have as an anchor of our soul. So the God of hope and this hope, what's it going to do? It's going to anchor my soul. Where, you know what? I'm not getting tossed around by every wind of doctrine. I'm not getting tossed around by every news flash. I'm not getting tossed around by every time they flip some numbers at the gas pumps. I'm not going to be tossed around by that. I'm not going to be tossed around if my boss is in a bad mood. I'm not going to be tossed around by what kind of gossip or what kind of complaining there is around my office. I'm not going to get tossed around. This hope we have is an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast. The God of hope. What is this hope? It's sure and it's steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Think about what your hope does. Hope gets you to the presence of God. Hope gets you to God's presence, which is in his anointing, which is a place where there's nothing missing and nothing broken, where it's yoke-removing, burden-removing, yoke-breaking power. That's what we have in his presence. Man, you got a yoke on your life, which is a kind of a, let's put it in the terms, I understand it's an agricultural term, or it's even a beast of burden term, you know, where you yoke up two oxen, or you yoke up two donkeys or mules, or you yoke up two horses, or no, you know what? Let's think about it like the way they thought about it at the time in the first century when Jesus walked the earth. A yoke was how they referred to the teachings of a priest. They called that his yoke, his teaching. You know, they had different teaching. They had different categories that they taught that was their message. And so Jesus said, he said, take my yoke upon you. Take my teaching upon you. My burden's light. My yoke's easy. My burden's light, right? He said, take my teaching. Take my yoke upon you. Okay, so now we look at this and we go back to it. This hope, man, where does it get us? It gets us behind the veil. It gets us backstage with God. Man, too many people sit in the audience and let God perform up on the stage. And you know what? We're living vicarious through some actors or some singers or some musician. Instead of saying, no, let me tell you, I got to go backstage where my daddy is. I'm not here to spectate. Man, I want all of God I can get. I'm 58 years old. I have an insatiable appetite for all of God that I can get. I got to get behind that dadgum veil. I don't want to live God with all the masses. I don't want to live my life without the presence of God, just hearing about it from our ancestors. People that, oh, well, I remember when. No, I want it now. Now faith is. You believe in God for a house? Now faith is. You believe in God for a child? Now faith is. Oh, but the doctors have told me that this and we can't conceive, and we tried this bilateral, now faith is. And what is faith? Listen, it becomes the substance of what we hope for. So now this hope, it's not a pipe dream. It's hope. It's sure. It's steadfast. What do you believe in God for? You believe in God for your kid to serve God? If you're here tonight and you're believing God for a child to come back or to serve God or come back to the Lord, I want you to stand wherever you are. Stand wherever you are. If you're believing God, if you're wanting a child to come back, okay, listen, hurry up, stand. All you guys that are standing, this is exactly what you have to do. This is it. All God cares is that you stand. And how are you standing? You're standing in this hope. And what is this hope now? You're not wishing. It's not some kind of pipe dream. We're not magically gonna have some fairy dust appear around you. No, it's a hope. I'm standing why? Because the God that I'm, the hope, the throne of hope, the God of hope, this hope that never disappoints. And who is God? He is sure and steadfast, immovable, not wavering. He's not looking at what your kid's doing right now. He's not fretting over it. I'll tell you what God's doing right now for every one of your kids. He's commissioning laborers to cross their path to minister the uncompromised truth in their lives. And I'm telling you, in the name of Jesus, because you are obedient to stand, you will see the faithfulness of God and your kids serving God in Jesus' name. Now, you guys have a seat. See, we can't just go through the motions anymore. Man, our kids are at stake. We've got to, man, you look at Moses and Aaron are at the tabernacle and a plague had begun. And the children of Israel had all turned their back on God. So now, you know what? Man, they were subject to the plague. And the plague begins. And all these people started dropping dead. And Moses turned to Aaron and said, man, you got to go to the fire. Aaron's 90 years old. He said, you got to go to the fire, to the altar. You got to grab some fire. And you got to go stand between the living and the dead. And the Bible says that Aaron immediately, 90-year-old man, starts sprinting to the altar right in the middle of the plague. And he grabs this sepulcher and he scooped out some fire and he turned and looked and he saw the angle that the plague had. And he took an angle like he was covering a kickoff. And he took an anger on this plague, and this plague's moving. And Aaron got to hear. And as soon as Aaron got to the people, the plague stopped. That's what happened tonight when you stood. Man, that's a type and shadow of what just happened. The plague, the moral, the spiritual, the emotional. Maybe it might be drugs. It might be the wrong people. Your kid might have professed they're an atheist. Doesn't matter. I'm telling you, our God's faithful to do exceedingly, abundantly, above all you could ask or think, according to the power in us. The power to what? Stand. What are you standing for? I'm standing for my dadgum kid. I'm standing because my kid is going to serve God. The devil can't have my kid. My kid will live and not die. My kid will fulfill his purpose on this earth. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. And you're thinking, man, your volume, it's not volume, it's intensity. Like we're all thinking, man, let's go lift weights. Man, let's go. Man, our muscles understand weight. Our muscles do not understand weight. Our muscles understand intensity. Man, you put all the weight that you could lift and you lift it. And then you take a tenth of the weight that you could lift and you begin to just start pumping it. And what happens? Your muscles are like, oh my gosh. You're going, okay, somebody put your hand in my pocket, get my keys. Okay, I got them. Okay, can you open the door? Somebody's got to drive me home. But it was lightweight, because why? Your muscles understand intensity. Well, let me tell you, your situations do too. I think intensity, I think aggression, I think violence. It's not physical violence. It's spiritual. The devil cannot have my kid in Jesus' name. Devil, you're a liar. Take your hands off of my child. I command you to dry place, to seek rest, and to find none in Jesus' name. And you know what? Devil's just got to go, shoot. You're kidding me. What about that deception I had you in where you were? The devil wants you worrying about it. Isn't that right, Sandy? Devil wants you freaking out about it. Devil doesn't want you taking a stand for it. What are you doing taking a stand? Man, some of you guys, the devil's telling you right now, man, you took a stand, didn't change anything. I say bull. I say you taking a stand, you say my kid's free, changes everything. Changes everything. Game changer in Jesus' name. Someone stood for me. I had a little brother that's 6 or 7 years younger than me that called me up one time. I was just on the backside of eating a bunch of mushrooms in a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And I'm hallucinating. I'm on the backside of it. It's wearing off. I get a phone call from my little brother. He said, Bill. I said, yeah, you okay? Everything okay? You guys okay? I didn't know what to say. I'm stoned a little bit. And he goes, yeah, I just had a vision of you preaching in front of thousands of people. I'm like, I just had a vision of the TV melting. And the thing that freaked me out wasn't that the TV melted into a puddle. It's that all the guys in the room, I'm looking at them, and it's not bothering anybody. I'm looking at all these guys looking around like this. TV melted. I'm looking at the TV. It's bubbling on the floor. And I'm looking at all these guys. I'm thinking, why aren't you freaking out right now? A couple hours later, my little brother Todd called me. He said, Bill, I just saw you serving God. I saw you preaching to thousands of people. I said, you're an idiot. And I hung up the phone. And so many people are here. So many people have been in this room, other rooms, motorcycle rallies, other things, because my little brother called me and told me that I'd be preaching to thousands of people in Jesus' name. And you'll say, well, you had a choice in the matter, really? I don't recall that choice. I don't. Saul of Tarsus, did he have a choice? Jesus said, you choose me. I chose you and appointed you. See, so you guys that stood for your kids, don't be thinking you're just going through the motions. My little brother was obedient to call me. Having the vision was nothing. That's common. Calling me? Man, I'm his big brother. I'm 6 years older, and I am hell-bent. But what happened? What he prophesied. You know what I did tonight for you, for your kids? I prophesied. You know what God did? Takes counsel as he performs his word. Is God faithful to his word? Did we pray God's word? Give the Lord a hand. Go ahead. Don't start playing yet, Jeff. Don't do it, buddy. Now may the God of hope fill you. Everybody say, fill you. May he fill. This is how God operates. He fills us. He baptizes us. He immerses us. But he fills you. He doesn't fill your work. He doesn't fill your room. He doesn't fill your... He fills you. He fills you. Man, he doesn't just give you a little... He doesn't give you what you need. He fills you. Man, you don't get what you deserve. He fills you. Now may the God of hope fill you, listen, with all joy and peace. Just think about what joy is. Man, joy, it's, oh my gosh, my strength, man, there's strength in your joy, God. Man, God's given us joy. In that joy, we have strength. Man, you guys believe in God for your kids. You guys believe in God to have kids. You guys believe in God for finances. You guys believe in God for whatever. Man, God's given you joy. You're thinking, oh my gosh, this could be hard. I got to be patient. Man, God gives you joy. Patience is nothing. Patience is easy. Patience has its perfect worth. He gives you peace. A synonym of peace is prosperity. Man, let my peace, my prosperity be in you. Man, Jesus said, I've come to give you what? Peace. But here's the clincher. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. In the margin of your Bible, above that verse, wherever you can, write not doubting, never doubting, never doubt, in believing. Man, you've got to make sure that when doubt comes, you know that's not God. If it's contrary to what you're believing God for, it's the devil. Let me tell you what God will do. Is God all powerful? Yes. Is God omnipresent? Yes. Is God everywhere? Yes. Wow. Because let me tell you what he'll do. Not withhold any good thing. And all you have to do is put him first. You stood, you put God first. You're not putting your worry first anymore. You're putting God first. Man, the stand that we take is it becomes amazing. Because it's in all hope. It's in believing. It's in peace. It's in joy. And we have to make this personal. Man, and then it says that we abound in hope, but it's actually super abound in hope. Man, that we abound in hope. We're not just getting a little bit of hope. We abound in hope. Man, Scott, what do you believe in God for? God, all you do is take a stand, and you know what God will do? He'll cause you to abound in hope, super abound in hope. Man, it's not just for special people. It's not just for the minister or the priest or the song leader. No, it's for you, filling you. Man, it's the strongest word in the English language. Super about it, hope. Listen, by the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not what you can muster. I know you're believing God. I know you're standing in faith. Man, I know you're fighting the good fight of faith. I know the doubt is trying to pierce the armor, and it can't. Taking the shield of faith, which is able to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one, and nothing will by any means harm you. Think about this, by the power of the Holy Spirit, but it's in you believing. Your trust, your faith, your believing activates God's power. See, so now it goes from us being hopeful to his power in one verse. One simple verse. God, what are you trying to tell us in this verse? By the dynamic, miracle-producing presence of God. That's God has an insatiable appetite to surround you, to encompass you, to envelop you with his presence. And in his presence is fullness of joy. And the joy of the Lord is our strength.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.